sweet time of prayer. It's funny how you can watch TV for half an hour, and the time just goes, right? It's like, man, that show's already over. You pray for a half an hour, and you're like, so how are we doing here, you know? It's really cool to see a church that just digs into prayer, okay? Because that's where the battle's won. That's where God starts to do his work. Isn't it amazing that when we start, we talk to God, and it's not in the flowery words, it's not, when we start to talk to God about the stuff that's going on in our lives, he pays attention. He really does. So let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you for your word that says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that applies to me as I talk. That applies to everybody sitting in every chair in this room. Lord, we want all of what goes on in this time to be you. We want it all to glorify you. We want you to do your work in us. We're so thankful that when we pray, we're not just saying words into the air. We're not just saying superstitious kind of things to try to make things happen. We are actually engaging and talking to the Creator of the universe. And you hear every word. And even better, you hear our hearts. You hear all of the unspoken parts around our prayers. So, Lord, I pray that you would show up during this time. We once again give you all editing privileges. Speak in us and through us and to us. Amen. Got a couple pictures that I'd like you to think of. The first one is waiting. If you see in your bulletin, we're going to be in Psalm 40. So if you looked ahead, waiting is very important. So we think of waiting over here. And then the other word that I'm thinking of is patient. So let me ask you a question. When you're at the buffet after church, and they're serving your orange chicken, and you're waiting to get yours, and somebody's in front of you, and they take a little bit longer in dishing their plate up than you think that they should, is it sometimes hard to wait? Come on, raise your hand. I don't know. It's hard. We are naturally always wanting to go to the next thing. And when somebody slows us down and says, hey, you know, or you're at the light, right? And people are in front of you and they're supposed to go. They have the green light. Why are you not going? How easily do we slide into impatience, not ability to wait and be patient? Psalm 40, verse 1 through 7. I'm just going to read it and then we'll kind of bounce around a bit. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor as such turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened, Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. Verse 8, I delight to do the will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Thank you, God, for your word. So, I wanted to type up some stuff, but then my printer had some issues and whatever. And sometimes they say that the best way to remember things is not always necessarily to write things down, but it's actually to kind of like say them and think of them and like use all of your senses in the thinking of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the wait first part. So we're going to have, there's four letters in wait, of course. Everybody knows how to spell, so W-A-I-T. So wait, the W, think of your big W, is walk with God. Okay? So W, walk with God. And there's tons of verses. There's one verse that talks about walking humbly with your God. And in Ephesians, it talks a lot about walking with God, being imitators of God, and so on. Have you ever gone walking with a four-year-old? You're walking down the mall, and what do they do? Do they stay right by your side and go, okay, I'm just walking with you? No, they're running all over the place, right? What are you constantly saying? Wait. Come here. Be next to me. Stand next to me. Then you'll be safe. Little newsflash for you. When you're my age, you still have to struggle with not running all over the place. When I was young, my parents took a picture of me. I was sleeping peacefully, and I had seven different scars on my face that were all healing at the same time. Newsflash for you. Probably all of those scars were achieved by me while I was not sitting still next to my dad. Probably. I was off doing fun stuff. But when you do fun stuff fast, what happens? You bang your head up against stuff. Walk with God. Don't run. Walk. Don't take a big step from here to all the way into the... No, you walk one step at a time. Our sister here was talking about a call that she's feeling. So many times when we feel a call in our lives, we want to get from point one to point 100 next week. And God just doesn't seem to work that way. Maybe it's because God is eternal and time doesn't mean anything to Him. 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. So He's not in a big hurry. I wish He was, because I want to see really cool things happen. But He's not. He's not in a hurry because He wants me to wait on Him. So walk with God. Right next to God. Even more importantly, having God inside you. Because the Bible says, if Christ is in me, Christ in me is my hope of glory. If I have received Christ as my Savior, He has forgiven me from all of my sins. Then He is inside me and working in me. And so I am walking in concert with Him to be obedient and follow. So walk with God. A, adore. Adoration is more than just worship. Adoration is placing God at the highest place, which is where He belongs. When I see how amazing God is and what He has done for me and how He loves me and how His love is so patient. We're getting to that in a second. It should fill my heart with adoration. If it doesn't, then I'm not really getting it. Then I need to say, God, help me to get it. Help me to really let in the amazing things that you have done for me. Because then when I'm adoring God, I'm not going to be rushing off and doing things that are not healthy for me or banging my head in places where I don't belong. Adoration, once again, is not something you do in a 30-second prayer. It takes time. We got to dig in. We got to centralize, prioritize, and say, okay, God, I am going to take some time. I'm going to make some time to adore you. I had it in my mind, and I can't remember what it was now. I will come to me in a second. We'll do T. T, thankfulness. Thankfulness is the amazing antidote to pride. If I'm thankful, I can't be proud at the same time. It's impossible. And I don't know about you, but for me, my number one battle that I'm fighting all of the time is the pride battle. The enemy is constantly tempting me with things to try to be proud about. Even being proud about how humble I am. Ooh, well, that worked really good. Thankfulness is so much more amazing because we're thanking God. We're thanking God. And I will go with incarnation. I know that's a big, big word. But remember, incarnation means Christ, who was God's only Son, equal with God. God's word says, did not consider it robbery. It was not a robbery thing for him to say, I am God. He was God. But what did he do? He came and became a man and lived and died for you and me. So those are our things. Wait. Wait. Patiently for the Lord. Now, my favorite illustration is that if anybody has seen those old reruns of I Love Lucy where she was working and with her friend on a conveyor belt line and it had all this stuff coming and it came faster and faster and she was trying to keep up. Every day as you go through life, you have a conveyor belt that is going before you, okay? And everything on that conveyor belt is vying for your time and your attention, okay? And most of the things on that conveyor belt are, the enemy is trying to get us distracted, to get us to think about anything, anything other than our walk with God and being obedient to Him. Anything. So the things that are coming down are sometimes we think about the past failures, mistakes. He just loves to constantly throw our things from the past into our face. Or he wants to get us focused on, well, what's going to happen next week? Or what about 3 years from now? Or what about this? Or what about this? Fear is a constant thing, wanting us to focus on all of those things. Sometimes it's just pleasure. It's just, oh, I just need a break. You know, life is hard. I need a break, so I need to do something fun. Nothing wrong with that. But if I think that that's going to satisfy the deepest longings of my soul, it's just not going to work. How about this one? This is one that I personally struggle with so many times. And you guys will let this in as you think about what we do in worship. It is so hard when I get touched by God and what He is doing in my life. And I'm so thankful for what He is doing. And I get fired up. And God does some cool things. And I am so thankful to Him, and I raise my hand in worship. But it is also so hard when it seems like every time that happens, there's counterattacks that come later. And there's always that next day or the next day when the counterattacks come where there's the, everybody's heard of the, you know, the mountaintop experience, right? Things go really good and but then comes Monday morning and you got to go to work and you got to deal with a coworker who doesn't like you, or you got to deal with being late or traffic or, and then what happens is, we'll get to this in a second when we talk about His inclining of His ear to us, but it's so hard to deal with the disappointment, with the realization that here I am. I had a really good week last week, and right here I am right now having to appropriate God's grace again for the sin in my life. Because what happens is Satan comes and shames me with that. But even that, wanting to, what did Jesus say? He despised shame, right? Shame makes me want to run away from God. Grace makes me want to run to God. Letting the present, this moment, right here, right now, be robbed by the past or the future is something that is on the conveyor belt that wants to vie for my attention and my time. Because the truth is, God's Word says that every time I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That is the truth about me and you. But learning to wait on the Lord in every second as I walk through life and walk in the reality of that is being patient. So as all of these things are coming by, and actually the conveyor belts are not just one that goes like this. They're actually multiple ones. They're like all over the place. And all of them have stuff constantly going in our minds, trying to say, look here, do this. What about this? What about this? Oh, you don't. So we set all this aside and say, I choose to wait patiently for you, God. And I choose to believe what you say about me, not what my circumstances say about me, or my past, or my future, anything. I waited patiently for the Lord. And just to let you know, the reason we have to be patient isn't because, once again, that God enjoys, you know, having to make us wait. He doesn't enjoy that. But He knows what's best for us, and we have to trust Him. But then this is the part that gets me fired up, and this is where the whole listening skills thing comes in. I'm halfway in, and you're probably wondering, why is he talking about listening skills? Well, the second part of first verse says, and He inclined to me. So let's just use our imaginations a little bit here. Say it's Game 7 of the World Series. Minnesota, yeah, they were in a World Series. I know it's hard to remember, but they actually were in a World Series a long time ago. Twice, exactly. So it's 91, and they're in the World Series, and here I am up in the nosebleed seats. Okay? Just, I don't know how I got in, but, you know, go with me. It's my imagination. So I'm up here. Looking down, here's Jack Morris on the mound. It's the ninth inning, down the stretch. And all of a sudden, Jack's about to throw the last pitch of the game that's going to seal the victory for the Minnesota Twins. And he stops. And he goes, I need to talk to Luke. So this, like, spaceship, you know, hovercraft kind of thing comes down and picks Jack Morris up and lifts him up. And he comes right up to me. Here I am in the middle of nowhere on the nosebleed seats. And he sits right there and he goes, "Luke, what's going on? How's your day been?" I'm like, well, it was good until you interrupted the game and came and talked to me. No, I'm just kidding. If that happened to you, would you feel like you were important? I would. Well, let's do a little comparison piece here. Who is more amazing? Jack Morris, Minnesota Twins, World Series, or God? I think God's a little bit bigger. He kind of created everything. He's spoken into existence. Always has been, always will be. Knows everything about me. Can't stop thinking about me. And he inclines to me. When you're watching TV and you sit on your recliner, what happens? You sit back, right? But what happens when someone comes into your house to visit you? Do you stay on your recliner and go, "Yeah, dude, come on in, have a seat. So how you been?" No, that's disrespectful. You incline to somebody, what do? You get up. You go say hi to them. You shake their hand. You say, "Have a seat." But more importantly, you get close to them and you say, "Hey, how are you doing? What's going on?" See, when you wait on the Lord and you invite God into your life, He will not come this far and say, "Hey, how you doing?" He'll come right in. He'll come right close to you. And He will incline to you. He will let you taste and see that He is good. So, have you ever been talking with somebody about something that's really important and deep and hard? You're halfway through sharing your heart with them, and they see their buddy walk in. "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" How do you feel? What am I, chopped liver? Listening, learning to listen, is something we all have to work on. Okay? Because we're called to be Jesus with skin on to other people. But the truth is that we are fallen individuals. And we can be the best listener that there is. And we are even close to a mile how amazing of a listener God is. From the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to sleep at night, and even while you're dreaming, God is right there listening to you. And He wants to talk with you. We can bring my volume down a little bit there, Mike. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, God is listening to you. And when you're talking to Him face to face, He never looks away. And the most amazing thing is that, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can kind of multitask. I can be talking with one person and kind of see, oh, okay, and I need to talk to that person. And then you kind of finish up this conversation and you make sure that they feel listened to and heard. And then you say, "Hey, it was great talking with you. I appreciate that." And then you go over here and talk to this other person. God is so amazing, He never has to do with that. Simultaneously, He can give individual, perfect, listening attention to every one of us. But it's as if we're the only person in the room. That's an amazing God. That's a God I want to serve and live for and do whatever He wants me to do. Because I just love the fact that sometimes when I feel all alone and I feel like what I'm doing is insignificant and it doesn't matter, I look at this verse and I remember that, you know what? If I was the only person on this planet, God would have still sent his only son to die on the cross for my sins, because he personally loves me that much. When that lands on you, when that impacts you, you will be unstoppable for the kingdom. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. How many times have we cried? Lots. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and established my steps. With the established my steps piece, I really love that. And the way that I focus on it is I say, you know what? When it comes to call and where God wants me and what he wants to do and where, you know, things might happen, I am so thankful that this establishing the step piece has landed on me, because basically it's like, if God is establishing my steps, it's my job to be obedient and go where he leads me to go. But if I start to go over here and say, God, do you want me over here? And he closes the door. Okay, no big deal. He just closed that door. Now he wants me over here. I'm going to keep walking. But it's God's job to make it happen. And it's amazing the release and the freedom that I have felt when I have said, you know what, God? I give myself to you. You use me however you want. If you want me to talk to one person, I'll talk to one person. If you want me to talk to two, I'll talk to two. If you want me to talk to 2 million, I'll talk to 2 million. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want me to do it, I'll do it. But it's on you. You're the one that's all got all the power. You're God. I'm not. So if there are obstacles in my way that are getting in the way of me doing what you want me to do, then you got to move them. God wants us to be bold. But he wants us to be bold in his strength, in his power, in his leading. Establish our steps. Puts a new song in our heart and so on. Trust in the Lord. I love all of that. Just going to jump ahead really quickly. Two other things I want to land on here really quickly. Did you read end of verse 5? It says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If you took all of the thoughts that God has had in the past, does right now, and will in the future for just you, one person, you couldn't count them all. That's a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts. That's amazing. Thank you, God. Now, I want to go back to the whole inclining piece just to finish up with this, and then we'll close in prayer. God inclines to us in four different ways. The first way that he inclines to us is constantly. He has got unlimited resources so that when we talk to him and when we pray to him, he constantly inclines to what we have to say, and he never stops. Once again, that's amazing, the resources he has. I listen to somebody for 15 minutes and I'm like, okay, come on, can we wrap this up, please? You know? But God's resources are so amazing. And I pray that when you understand how amazing his resources are, that will fill you with joy and desire to talk to him more, to access what he wants to do in your life more. So constantly. So that's the C. Remember that. Remember the wait before? So these are the four things. C. And then he constantly, lovingly. God lovingly inclines to us, right? He doesn't come close to us to hurt us. If somebody is coming close to you to hurt you, then you want to run away. He comes close to us to help us. The other one, gracefully. God's amazing grace. It is really amazing that He will take all of my sin, and not only will He remove it completely from me, but He will also call me His son and give me way more. Like I said, last time I was here, we talked about that He takes me from being 5 billion in the hole in my sin to 5 billion in the black. The wealthiness of God is so amazing. Constantly, lovingly, gracefully. Boy, I'm really thankful that the Lord is even gracious with my inability to remember, because I really had these right in my mind, and now I can't remember the fourth one. Well, it must not be. So there's three. So we've got four and three. Wait. And constantly, lovingly, and gracefully. CLG. My initials are LG, so if that helps to remember, just remember the C at the beginning, constantly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the fourth one. So talk to God and let God incline His ear to you, and then He'll let you know what the fourth one is. All right? Stay tuned. So let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You so much that You are so patient and loving and kind, and You wait patiently for us. And that You never stop working. You are deliberate in Your work. You are loving in Your work. You are graceful. You are merciful. But Lord, we don't want to just talk about that. We don't want to just talk a good game. We don't want to just say things that sound good and spiritual and, oh, that was nice. Now let's go home and watch the playoffs. God, we want to be different. We want the truth of who You are and what You think about us, and the fact that You can't stop thinking about us, and the fact that You have forgiven the sin that we thought of 2 hours ago or last night or yesterday. All of our sin is washed by Your blood. Lord, we want the fact that You're willing and able to do that. And not only are You able to forgive us that sin, You don't hold it against us. Man, somebody does the same thing to me twice, and I'm really mad. Three times, it's like, oh, come on, they should know by now, they shouldn't do this. How about the thousands of times that I have done the same sin? God, You're so amazing. How You can forgive us and cleanse us and use us. And Lord, we want to be used, and we want to be dangerous for You. Not in our strength, not in our power, but in Your strength and in Your power, because You listen to what we have to say. Thank You, God, that You are a perfect listener. You're a perfect everything, but I'm especially happy that You're a perfect listener. You never yawn when I talk to You. You never look at your watch and say, is He going to be wrapping up anytime soon here? How can You do that, God? We don't know how, but You can. So we access what You want us to have. We want to talk to You more. I'd like You right now. Here's my application for you, okay? Here's my application. I got two applications for you. Keep your eyes closed and in prayer as you're thinking about this. I want you to do two things this week. The first thing is any time you have to wait for anything, anyone, anywhere, I want you to pray. So when you're at the stoplight and you have to wait, pray. When someone makes you wait at the buffet, pray. When your wife interrupts you, when you're trying to talk, pray for her and for yourself. When someone's talking and they're talking too long or praying too long, like right now, pray for me. So when you have to wait, pray. And number two, I challenge you to be intentional about setting a certain period of time that you are going to wait on the Lord and rest in His presence and pray. And set a certain amount of time and do that three times a day. Whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever. Just say to God, I want to, three times a day, I want to spend time waiting on You and talking to You about everything that's going on. And I want to do that intentionally for these periods of time throughout the day. So that's the application for you. So if you want to say to God, I'm willing to do that, right now while all of our eyes are closed, I want every eye closed. This is not between anybody else but you and God. And God sees you in your hand. Just raise your hand to Him and say, God, I want to wait with You and wait on You. Use me. Amen.